Father, we want to thank you once again for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will give us light, conviction, deliverance if need be, and healing for those who need healing. Open our eyes that we may know the wondrous things of your word. Bring us to the center of your will, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So we have been actually studying about how to possess the promises of God. Possessing the promises of God. God has given us precious and exceedingly great and precious promises. So said Peter. You know, we know that we don't need to go over there. And that by these, that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Now, it was God's plan to create seeds to come out of the ground, which will bring tree, which will bring fruit, which will have the seed inside. This was God's plan. He ordained it that way. So let the seeds bring forth herbs and trees, plants after their kind, and fruits with seeds in them. Can you see that? So God gave us the seeds. They were created by God. And each seed brought forth the herb or the plant or the tree after its kind. The tomatoes brought forth the tomatoes. The okra seeds brought forth the okra. The pumpkin seeds brought forth the pumpkin. Why? Because God ordained it that way. God put the seeds into the fruit. Now God gives the seeds to sow. Seeds are for sowing, not for keeping them and just looking at them. Seed has to be sown. 2 Corinthians 9:10. I tell you, this message is so how important, because it's one thing to be saved and another thing to enjoy the promises of God, the blessings of God. Yeah, the Bible says God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, the anointed Jesus, in the heavenly places. Yeah, it is true, he has blessed us, but then we need to appropriate them, live in the reality of the promises. What the promises are. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower. God gives the seed to the sower. Are you a sower? Then he will give you the seed. If you're not a sower, he will never give you the seed. We are lazy, he won't give us. He will not even allow us to come near the seed. And demons will see to it, keep you away from the seed. No matter what excuse you can give. You can say you are busy, you are in Canada or England or Australia. You can say I'm so busy, it's not like Sri Lanka. I'm so busy, busy, busy life. I had to work from Monday to Friday. Yeah, it's true. But if you're not a sower, you will never receive the seed from God. It's simple as that. God gives seed to the sower. Now, the seeds, I'm talking about the natural seed now. The seeds have power. They've got power inside. That's why they are able to produce the same kind after them. God put the power in. And not only the seeds have power, you take any seed, they have life in them. If you ask the Chinese or any people, I mean the Chinese because they are very, very clever to make things just exactly like the real. Some of the plants that they make in the plastic plants out of cloth or paper, you just have to go and then feel it to know whether it's real or false. Whether flowers or trees, you know what I mean? So if you tell them to make seeds, whether they take any seed, pumpkin seed or tomato seed or rice seed, that will make it exactly like it. By looking at it, you will never know that it's a false seed. But you plant them, nothing will happen. Why? Because there is no power, there is no life. Seed has no power. I'm talking about real seed. Has no power. Even though God has put the power inside, the seed has no power until it is planted. There's no power. Now you can keep, take some seeds, rice seeds or tomato seeds or any seeds that you name it. Corn seeds, you keep them with you, keep it inside your pocket for days, keep it on a showcase, keep it everywhere, take them everywhere, carry them around. After 2 months you see they are still the seeds. Nothing has taken place. Even though the life is in them, even though there is power locked up inside, nothing takes place. The seed had to be planted. The word of God is the seed of God. The words were in God. Jesus Christ said, the Lord said, I came from the Father. And I am now going back to the Father. He was speaking to the Pharisees. The Bible says in Revelation 19:13, he is the word of God. The word of God is the seed of God. Peter said, you have been born again by imperishable seed, which is the word of God. The word of God is imperishable seed of God. Now each seed produces after its kind. What do you think the word of God will produce? The seed after its kind. God wanted many sons to be like, exactly like Jesus Christ. That's why he planted that seed. You have been born again by the imperishable seed, not corruptible seed. Imperishable, incorruptible. The word of God. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is powerful and living. So it's got power and it's living. Are you listening to me? God has given us his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 11 says, this word is near you. Now, God has given us, in other words, he has given us seeds. The word of God, the promises of God. Every promise of God is a seed. But the promise of God is powerful, powerless, and it is lifeless until it is planted. The natural seeds are planted in the normal natural ground, which is appropriate for that plant. The word of God, which is the seed of God, is planted in a special ground called the heart of man. That's what the whole parable about the sower Jesus was explaining. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three of them, repeatedly they have written that, guided by the Holy Spirit. Why should all three write except John? Jesus said, if you do not understand this parable, how will you understand everything? Because that is the vertebral column. A sower went out for what? To watch the land? To sow. You can, just like I said about the natural seed, you can take the word of God, the seeds, the promises of God in the Bible. You can take the Bible, carry it with you, go everywhere, take it in the bus, take it while you're going in the train. You can take it to the mall, you can take it everywhere. You can color them. You can put them in the showcase. You can keep the Bible underneath your Bible, your pillowcase. Inside the pillowcase, you can put all the promises of God, hang them on nice framed pictures inside your kitchen. I'm telling you, this is very serious. You can have every scripture in every room, Nothing will happen to these seeds until they reach the ground, until they are planted. Seeds need to be sown. They need to be planted. There is no power. There is no strength. There is no life until such time. How God's children all over the world, many times, how is that we're so deceived? You find, I think majority, 99% of the time, the Christians are deceived. They go and hear the sermon about seeds. And of course, while they are hearing, the seeds are falling into different kinds of hearts. Every time, now I'm speaking, I'm sowing some seeds. What kind of a ground it is falling, only God knows. Whether it's a wayside, or whether it's a stony place, or whether it's talking about your heart. Whether it's full of thorns, all kinds of worries and cares of this world, or even demonic presence, or whether it's falling on good ground. You have to check that. You have to see about it. It is not up to the sower. God never mentions about the sower afterwards. He sowed and that's it. Afterwards, he mentions about the ground. Nothing wrong with the seed too. He mentions about the four different grounds, the different type of hearts of people. So we can take the Bible, we can color it, we can do anything that we like. We can just, take down. No, but then until these seeds are planted in our hearts, God says no meaning for it. You cannot get the blessings of the promises. You need to keep them in the midst of your heart. People think, oh, we'll go to church and pay their tithes and then that's it. And the trouble comes, they can pray and also they get pastor to pray. Sometimes God's answers, I don't know. But that's not his normal way. He says, I have given you seeds. What are you doing? Jesus brought seeds from the Father. Father, the word which you have given me, I have given them. The seeds which you have given me, I have given them. And they have taken it. And they believed it. They kept it in their hearts. The Holy Spirit reminded them. And Jesus said that. He will lead you into all truth, all seeds. The word of God is the seed of God. So even though it is powerful and it is living, until the seed is planted, there is no power. You can join any church. You can be under Kenneth Copeland ministry. You can be under Kenneth Hagin. You can be under Benny. You can go to any church that teaches the word of God. But until you take those seeds and plant them within your heart, keep them in the midst of your heart, water them, then you will receive the harvest. No planting, no harvest. No sowing, no reaping. The word of God must be planted. There is work, my dear brother. There's work for me too. God gave that work for Adam. He gave that garden and he said, you better look after it. And he just, you know what happened. And then he just permitted that snake to come inside the garden. Now, Luke chapter 8 verse 12, we're going to see a seed, Jesus said, must be sown. Luke 8, 12. Have we taken it? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts that they should believe and be saved. The seed was sown into these people's hearts. But they were like the wayside. It's talking about sowing. 13. But the ones on the rock are those who when they hear, receive the word. See, the word was, the seed was received. But you know what happened afterward? There was no moisture. There was no earth. The stony ground. And again, 14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who when they have heard, you see, these people, they heard, they received the seed again. But then thorns were there. How are you hearing today? Jesus said, take heed how you hear. You know, this is the most important thing in your life today, even for this month. This is the most very important. There is nothing can be important than this. Because when Satan sends the demons to you, oh, he will. Systematically he will on different days. Not always, on different days, in different weeks. And you do not know when the day will be there. Because the Bible said, the Holy Spirit says, in the evil day, that you may be able to stand. Having done all, stand. Most of us cannot stand. On the evil day, we start killing each other, tearing each other. We cannot pray. No promise of God comes to our hearts, because they are not in our hearts. He told the Pharisees, you do not believe me because you don't have the words of him who sent me. You don't have his words in your heart. Listening is important, but sowing the word in our hearts is much, 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 much important. Because without sowing, how will it grow? Without growing, how can it produce fruit? How can you have the harvest of the promises? See, now, how do we sow our food? I mean, the seeds that we do. I mean, in our garden, how do we sow? Say you have a garden and you want to sow some seeds. Where you want to plant tomatoes, nice, you know, good breed, good kind tomatoes, not wild ones, or okra, or eggplant. So you go to the person who sells seed, right, in a shop, who are acquainted with vegetables and planting and all that, right? You get those seeds, right? Get the seeds. And you come and then you do up your garden. How do you sow them? You take a tractor? No, you sow them by your hands, isn't it? If it's a big field, a farmer, they're going to say about 100,000 acres, they're going to sow just spinach or tomatoes. They're going to use some machinery, right? Because you can't do it with your... Well, in our country, in Sri Lanka, most of you all know, where they sow rice seeds, you do it by your hands, you know. They've got a lot of people are involved, they work, and then, you know, they sow it. They scatter the seeds. That's the way the natural seeds are sown. Now, how do you sow the word of God? In the garden of God, which is your heart and my heart. How do we sow it? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now listen carefully. I mean, this is so important because the Holy Spirit can bring that scripture in order to bring deliverance. Because that scripture is necessary for deliverance. Hallelujah! But it has to be in the heart. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit shall remind you what I have taught you. To remind, we should know. How can he remind what we do not know? It has to be in the pot to come in the spoon, right? Deuteronomy 30. See. 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor it is too far off. Commandment is what? The word. It is not in heaven. What is it is? The word. That you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us to bring to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor it is beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and then bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is near you. The seed is near you. The word is near you. It is near. It is near. It is near you. There are so many countries and so many cities and villages, the word is not near. They cannot have access to the word of God. All what they could see is all dumb idols and snakes and all kinds of things that they worship. And many countries, this word is not permitted to come in. And they burn up the word of God, the Bibles and all that. But God says, This word is near you. Can you say it is not near you? It is near you. The word is near you. He never said prayer is near you. He never said songs are near you. He never said the church is near you. He never said the pastor is near you. Moses is near you. No! The word is near you. And the second thing he says is, excuse me, he never said the word is near you. Very near you. I left out one word, mate. It's very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Now look at me. Your heart is the ground, right? God says it's in your mouth. So natural seeds we sow with our hands. The word of God, the seed, we sow with our mouth. How can we sow with our mouth? How can we sow the promises into our heart? How do we sow it? Proclaim it. Memorize it. Say it at least 50, 100 times a day. Oh, this is terrible. Don't do it. Forget about the promises of God. Because if we can memorize it and say 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 it, it goes deeper into our spirit, which is our heart. And when the time the devil attacks, when people say all kinds of wrong things, when threatening comes, when fear comes, when terror comes, terror is a spirit, demon spirit. Fear is a demon spirit. It can work through people. It can. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit takes the thing that you memorize and you just laugh. He will just remind you the scripture you said, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, I will condemn it. I destroy the words which you spoke now. And I bind every devil that's behind these words in Jesus' name. Man, I'll tell you, that person should shudder. The whole heaven shudders when you pronounce the name of Jesus. Why should God Almighty, Jehovah, say this word is very near you? And you laugh about it? You say you have no time? Okay, meet your friend. Who's that? Mr. Terror, Mr. Fear, Mr. Depression, confusion, all kinds of confusion, lack, no peace, no joy, nothing whatsoever. God says, it's in your mouth, my seed. Take it in your mouth. Take it in your mouth. Sow it. Sow it. Some of you thought, you said 50 times a day, one promise to say it out of my mouth. I haven't got time to say it for 10 times. I got so much work to do. Is that right? Joshua chapter 1. I wonder whether you are a busy person than Joshua. Joshua had 6 million Jews to look after. How much you have? Huh? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Don't study the scriptures just for knowledge. Receive it as light. The book of the law, which is the word, shall not depart from your hands. Let it not depart from your bag. Oh, I keep the Bible inside the bag, Pastor. Let it not depart from your bedroom. Let it not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate it day and night. The margin says you shall meditate. My margin says you shall be constantly in meditation. Constantly in meditation. Now, look at me, please. Was Joshua a busy person? He had his family, right? He believed in marriage, I know. And some people don't. Joshua had to look after the Jews, the men, the ladies, all the problems of the people. He has inquired, my God, how many things would come? With about a little over 1,400 or something odd people, I get phone calls after phone calls from Glenn, my main elder. And he said, "Brother, what I do with this? These people say that, those people say that, and I don't know what to do. When are you coming?" I had to get them on the phone. What do you think of Joshua? A busy person like Joshua, God is telling Joshua, "Let not these words depart out of your mouth. Constantly say those things with your mouth. The word of God, the seed of God, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous." You know why we are not prosperous? We are great listeners. We believe in a day called Sunday. And we believe in, yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. And we are so proud of ourselves, you know, just like the Pharisees. Oh, we pay tithes, we pay that, we do that, we fast. There is none like, nobody fasts like us. I'll fast until all my intestines are gone. God never said that. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Why the church is not success? They're having everything except the word. They give many places for everything except the word. You know, I just love ministries like Ben-Hina, Joyce Meyer, or the reason why I say this, or Derek Prince, Kenneth Higgins, they give God's word number one place. Exalt the word of God. And anybody talks about anything about them, I tell you, something rises up within me to lay hands on them. Not for praying, but for, you know. We give first place God's word. You see how the house atmosphere will change. Yeah. It will change because God means what he says. He said, "Joshua, constantly in meditation of my word, don't speak anything else. Speak my promises, speak my word. You will prosper and you will be successful." That's what he said. So he said, the word, the seed is in your mouth, it's in your heart, that you may do it. You see? So continuous proclamation of God's word is the way to sow those seeds, the promises into your heart. I want to say this. I think I probably, Shirami, my daughter, has heard the song, I think by Noel Richards, "Light Has Triumphed Over Darkness." And you get that scripture, almost the same line scripture in John 1st chapter, you remember? "And the light shined in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it." It's the same thing. So he sings, "Light has triumphed over darkness." That was in her heart. And when she was going through attack from the devil, and suddenly one day she opened her mouth, and the Holy Spirit brought forth the scripture out of her mouth. Can you see that? Why? Because it was there. It was planted a long time. Thank God. That song written by, I believe, Noel Richards, had this scripture in it. So that came. And that came as a blessing for me and Charmaine, where we wanted something. That was no light. We lost all hope, like Paul said. There was no hope left for us. 2 weeks, we couldn't see the sun, and all hope was gone. I'm talking about this shipwreck. So, unless we sow God's word, we know the promises. We can, if somebody can tap us and then wake us up in the middle of the night and they say the scripture, and we can say it without any problem. That's in our heart. That promise is in your heart. I want to say this. The seed is God's seed. God and his seed are one. The seed of tomato and the fruit of tomato are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You cannot have more room in your heart for God or Jesus Christ than you have room for his word, his seed. God is in his seed. The tomato plant is in the seed of the tomato seed. Do you believe that? Oh yeah, okay, that then can become a plant like that. So the more promises we believe and keep it in our hearts, Romans 10 and from verses 6 to and onwards says, is believed in your heart for righteousness. And to be saved, you confess with your mouth. To confess God's word all the time, we should know them by heart, isn't it? That's why the Bible says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Oh, my son, attend to my words. Keep them in your heart. And we don't listen. We believe in a deception called prayer all the time. Prayer is good. I'm not belittling the prayer, but the seed had to be sown. God wants to see the seed, which is his word. Now, not only there, go with me to Isaiah 59, 21. Are you listening to this? Or are you blinking? As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with him, the Spirit who is upon you. Is he upon you? Is the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Then why do we blurt out all kinds of rubbish talks when we talk to each other? If we can see the Spirit upon so and so and so and so, will we talk anything bad at them? Will we? No, we forget. My God, I see a dumb man on his head. That's the Holy Spirit. We won't talk. Holy Spirit is not dove, it's a symbol, you know. I mean, don't take say that the pastor said the Holy Spirit is a dove. Like a dove. Yeah, there are people, they catch on this. There are so many people have been deceived these days. Oh, you said Jesus never went to hell. One person said early morning, 7 o'clock, he woke me up from Sri Lanka. You know, I listened to your concert. After death, where did Jesus go? I said, yeah, to hell. No, I don't believe that. You got to prove it to me. I said, I need to pray for deliverance. Oh, dear Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your hands. Does it say mouth? Does it say the words that I have given for you to look at it and paint? Color with all kinds of colors. Buy some nice scriptures and hang it on your wall. Is that bad, hanging scriptures on the wall? I would advise you to do it, because you can at least see that. Remind and hang many, many scriptures as possible as everywhere, and then memorize them. Because I said, until the word is planted on the ground, the seed is planted, the word of God, in your heart and my heart, there is no harvest. The word of God, which is the seed of God, is not powerful, is powerless. The word which is in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, and nor from your mouth of your descendant, that your children, nor from your mouth of your descendant, that your grandchildren. Are you not happy? God said that'll go on. But the devil will come to steal the word from your children. It'll come to steal from you, from my mouth. It'll come to steal. Oh, yeah. The devil stole the word of God from the mouth of all the Israelites. And they said, it's better we have died. The better we have died. The better we... Oh, tell Moses we better... Moses, we have something to tell. What is it? We have so many cemeteries there in Egypt. Why did we come here to die? Oh, better we have died. Better we have died. Better we have... What did they speak? The word? No. They spoke death. The devil comes to put different words in our mouth. Oh, so-and-so says this. So-and-so says that. Oh, that person said this. And this person said this. What if he thinks? So if he thinks I have to speak different words, I'm scared of his thoughts, which I do not know whether he will think or not. You're playing God. The Israelites did not speak God's word. Only two men spoke that. Joshua and Caleb. Can you see that? Oh, their bread, we will go inside. God promised it and we will get it. Let's go. Fair enough, both of them, they went. But they suffered for 40 years with those bunch of rebellious people. There are many rebellious people today. They won't speak the word of God, but you allow them to get into an argument, I tell you. They will need a pulpit. And they will say, no, nothing doing. So the word of God, the devil comes to steal it from the grandchildren also. I've seen it. You know, right? None of you have grandchildren yet. You don't have children either. Oh, you have children. But you put the words in the mouth of your grandchildren. Who has to put the words? We can put it. God said, I'll put the word, my words in your mouth. God said, when I give the word Moses, put it in the mouth of Aaron. How to put it in your mouth? I will tell you, repeat after me. Just now I said the prayer, repeat after me. Repeat after me. So we can put the mouth in the grandchildren. When they're young and all that, that's what God said. Speak about my word. Speak about my word. Speak about when they sit down, when they get up, when they go back. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? Speak about my word. And the devil comes to steal. Did God say that? Oh, don't speak about that. Oh, don't speak about this. Stop it. But God says, I will not take the word of God out of the... Is this a promise? Is this a promise? Oh, we can claim it. Lord, you said, my grandchild, oh, hallelujah. You will not take that word out of the mouth, so I claim it now. Those people who have no grandchildren, you have children, you can claim it. Lord, you can claim the promise, this promise, you know when? After you have spoken the word of God and put the word of God in their mouths. Then you can. You do your part, God will do his part. You do the sowing and watering, God will bring the growth. Paul said, I planted. Apollo watered it. Who gave the growth? God. We don't plant anything. We just read. Oh, I'm so tired today. The Lord knows. I am. Maybe I'll read one psalm. My favorite psalm. So here again, the seed had to be in your mouth in order to go into your heart. Now, when we should sow the seed? We're going to see about that. When we should sow God's word? This is very important. Now, I want to tell you something. If you have been out of God's word, you have got out of your spirit walk life. You got to walk by the recreated human spirit. Once you get out of it, you come into the soulish life. Still you are a Christian. Still you have the Bible. Still you are listening. As I am speaking, you are listening. But you are in the soul. You are living in the soul. You are living according to your mind and your thoughts, your emotions, and your will. You are living according to all what you see, what you hear, what you see, and what you hear. And you are thinking, and you are thinking, and you would get counsel from here. You are soulish. You won't get any revelation. You won't get any power from God. And it won't be interesting for you what I'm saying now. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. When are we going to sow God's word? The seed of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This is very interesting. Are you ready for revelation? Right, 2 or 3. 11:4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11:4. When should I sow God's seed in my heart? He who observes the wind will not sow. Are you one of them? Or you don't understand? And he who regards the clouds will not reap. So he is talking about sowing and reaping, right? Right? And he's also talking about wind and clouds, right? I answer me. He who looks at the wind will not sow, and he who watches the clouds will not reap. What is the Holy Spirit saying here? The wind and the clouds are natural things, right? Right? So those who are looking at the circumstances, they are negative. Oh, it's too windy, or it's too cloudy, it's going to rain. You know, those who are depending on your circumstances, negative circumstances, all kinds of things which are against you, those people will not sow. The 11 apostles who were in the boat with Peter, they looked at the circumstances and they didn't get down. Every one of them could have walked. Only Peter took the challenge. Lord, if it's you, I want to get down. So he got out of the boat, leaving the 11 behind. Are you listening to me? Why don't you open your mouth? And when did Peter go down? Did he walk? Yes, he walked. When did he go down? As long as he looked at Jesus, he walked. But the moment he looked at the what? No, the Bible says he looked at what? The wind and the waves, he went down. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who watches the clouds will not reap. That means God says, when your circumstances are bad, and never depend on the circumstances, what is happening around you, next to you, what you hear. Don't depend on the circumstances. Sow the word when it is very, very bad and negative. Sow the word, sow it, sow it, sow it, for the harvest will come. Thank you. At least you had something to say there. And others, you missed a very good place to shout. How many times we look at the circumstances and speak opposite to God's word and bite all your nails and eat out of fear? That's why I'm a bit thinking and scared. I don't know what to do. What to do? So. I just came out of my mouth. Sow the word. You have to sow the correct plant. What do you want? Tomatoes? Sow tomato seeds. You want finances? Sow the finances seed. You want healing? Sow the healing seed. Don't wait until the day that you are sick. Don't confess the promises against terror. God has said, terror shall not come near you. Don't say those things until the terror knocks at your door. Say it before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The terror shall not come near me. I'm far from oppression and terror. That's what God said. And sow it 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 and sow it. And when comes somebody threatens you, oh, you know, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that on the TV? Did you hear about that? Oh, yeah. They never did anything for them. They never. Is it? Why are you laughing? Because terror shall not come near you. It is written. And you slap those demons right on their faces. If they have teeth, I tell you. You slap them, slam them with the word of God. There is no other thing that you can do. God has given us the weapon, the sword against these spirits. The word of God, the sword of the spirit, your recreated human spirit. It has got to be given the sword of the spirit, not your soul. Here we are, the spirit has nothing to use. Hey, I have nothing to use. I am tied up. What are you going to confess? Oh, I will confess. My Lord, I think you're going to come and kill me. I think I'm going down. I think everybody hates me. Confess it then. Is there anybody here in the house? Let us continue. So, those who look at the circumstances, will they sow? No. The wind brings the clouds. The clouds bring the rain. So don't just look at the wind and don't just look at the rain, the clouds. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. But you just look at only one part. Oh, we don't know what's happening here. Oh, why are you throwing me into this ditch? Oh, because God is preparing you to take you to the throne. All right, I don't know whether you got that one. Continue reading. As why you got to sow, even though the circumstances are very bad and negative and oh, nothing is going to happen. Oh, I'm caught this time. We got to sow. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, do you know the way of the wind? No. By the way, the wind and the spirit are the same. The word for in Hebrew and in the Greek. Or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with the child. Do you know how the bones grow inside the mother's womb for a child? Do you know how? Then why are you looking at the wind? Why are you looking at the cloud? Are you God? That's why God is asking that question. Hey, you don't know these things. When did you see the bones grow within the womb of a mother? Oh, I don't know. I don't see also. I don't know how it comes. Bones inside womb? No, I don't know. And these ribs inside the stomach? I don't know. Sow the word. Sow the word. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. I said, you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. Oh. You know, when I get up, as I open my eyes, and these thoughts come, what are you going to do? And all problems come inside your mind. The person who gave problem comes into your mind as if he's coming and talking to you. She's coming and talking to you. And then you are talking and you are sleeping. You turn your head and you say, oh Lord, please help me. And you know, and what are you going to do? Well, how will you pay that bill? How will you pay this bill? And what will you do if your job goes with they're giving layoff for everyone? Coming. Before you get up, before you put your foot down. God says, start of the day, as you open your eyes, sow the seed. As I open my eyes, sow the seed, yeah. Yeah. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. The Lord shall fulfill that which concerns me. He shall uphold me with his right hand. He will lead me and guide me continually. The Holy Spirit is within me and upon me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. If we continually speak as we get up from the bed, you try that and see. Did you try that any time? Did you try it in as you open your eyes? Now don't speak like you've got to cast out that lying demon out of you. How did you find it? How did you find it? Instead of just going into our imagination theater. A world of imagination. We close our eyes and we love to imagine. What did she say? And all of a sudden our faces turn dark. As we get up itself and those words come out of our mouths. Why are you sad a little bit? Nothing. What do you mean sad? I'm okay. I didn't wash my face. No. There is something wrong. In the morning, sow your seed. Right? That's the best time. In other words, God is saying, start of the day. Don't keep your mouth closed. Get the word. Get the seed in your mouth. Sow it. God will grant me his blessing. God will bless me. And he has blessed me and I will come to those blessings and he will grant me a good job that I may bless his kingdom. Yeah. We need to say those promises. Start of the day and throughout the day. And go on, in the morning sow your seed. And in the evening, what do I do, Pastor? Do not withhold your hand. They sowed with their hands those days. So he said, don't withhold your hand, sow it again. In other words, he's saying, sow continually. So he who sows little will reap little, sparingly. He who sows generously and much seeds, he is going to reach a great harvest, reap. So if we sow continually throughout the day and even at nights, we memorize the scriptures and sow it and sow it and sow it. This is exactly what mighty servants of God did. That's why they are writing about promises of God. So put the word first, put the word first, put it in. That's why they're saying all the time, but it's Ken Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Benny Hinn or anybody. The church has left out this important thing God said. My word is near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. How do we get it to the heart? Through the mouth. How do you get your food, your natural food, which is on your plate all the time? You sow those seeds inside your stomach 3 times minimum, or sometimes some people 5 times. And you take food also carrying with you all the time within your bag. Eat something. Sow it. So in the morning you sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So, my dear brothers and sisters, listen. Do not look at the circumstances. We should never look at the circumstances. We should sow the promises of God by confessing, memorizing, believing it, and sowing it, and sowing it, and sowing it. When? The wind is blowing very fast. Like a storm. Sow the seed. Don't look at the wind and enlarge it. Sow the seed. Sow the promise. Oh, it's so much rainy. Oh, it's very cloudy and gloomy. Sow the seed. He who looks at the wind will not sow. He who watches the clouds will not reap. No. See the point? This is God's way. This is God's way. We need to speak the promises of God throughout the day. Do we do that? If we can discipline ourselves, train ourselves to do that, at least about 2 to 3 chapters a day, promises a day to memorize it. See how many, if we memorize thoroughly one promise within 1 year, we know 365. By heart, we will just relate it. Some of you have got a very strong memory power and you can recite it. Say it. I guarantee you, you're going to reap a bumper harvest because it's God's word. It's imperishable. There is a time to sow. It's a time to reap. You don't sow tomato seeds today in your garden and reap them fruits tomorrow. You got to sow continually. Sow continually. Continually. There is a person very, very... I'm going to show you in Genesis chapter 26. He never looked at the circumstances. He followed, even though this Ecclesiastes was written long time after, he followed and believed God and depended on God for his harvest. Genesis 26, he didn't look at the clouds, he didn't look at the wind. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines in Gur. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt to live in the land to which shall I tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. Can you see that? Do not go down to Egypt. Do not go and learn their habits. Don't live like them. That's exactly what he's saying. Don't live like them. Don't go over there and learn their habits, the way they talk, the way they live, their lifestyle. So it's easy to get conformed to the world, you know. So he says, stay in this land and I will bless you. Now what was happening during Isaac's time? There was a famine. There was no rain. There was absolutely, you cannot plant because everything is dry. Have you seen, you know, many days sometime during the summer in Canada or in Sri Lanka? My Lord, there is no rain for many months and then, you know, everything is dry, 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 dry. The sand is dry. The sea is, everything is dry. And you need plenty of water to wet them, right? So in a time like that, now go with me to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed. What a time to sow. Did he watch the circumstances? He didn't. Isaac sowed during the time of famine in the land and reaped in the same year. Did he reap in the same year? Yes. What happened? 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. You know what we are doing? We look at the circumstances and speak about the circumstances instead of sowing the promises. That's what we are doing. We are trained to do that. You know, I mean, we just like children, you know, they just, you don't have to tell them to speak lies. We just magnify. Jesus says, speak to the mountain and we speak. Oh, do you know something? What? This mountain, I can write a book about this mountain. You know, who is that mountain? It's a person. Well, you know, when he looks, I feel like running away. You know, and we magnify the mountain. The problem. That's what we are doing. That's what most of the Christians are doing throughout the world. And I must tell you, when I was out of the world, I have done that. You look at the circumstances and talk about circumstances and magnify. Instead of speaking against it and putting the word of God, the Lord shall deliver me from this. The Lord shall deliver me from this. Who are you, Philistine, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defile the armies of the living God? Who is this Philistine? You know, they came and said, oh, you come, David, you young David. You are a youth. Don't be fooled to go and fight with him. In fact, even King Saul discouraged him. And he didn't, because you know why? You know why? I know the Holy Spirit was with him and the anointing was with David. You know why? The word of God was inside him. Did he not say, your word, how much I love it, oh Lord. It's my meditation in the morning. No, all day. It's my meditation all day. So he was, when he saw the 13-foot, this man, such a, he was a youth, probably 17, 18. Young fellow. What was the power? The word of God was fire inside. The Holy Spirit said, oh, no, you can do it. We will do it. Together we will do it. And he said, you are coming with all this spear and all that as if I'm a dog. You know? He said, I come in the name of Jehovah. Why? Seeds were sown already within his heart. Seed was sown already within his heart. And that was bringing the harvest. What do? We wait until the problem hits. And then we say, oh Lord. And we pray. And we pray. I don't say praying is bad. We pray. But where are the seeds? God has given us precious and exceedingly great promises. We do. Pastor, I know one promise. Jesus bore my sins and he took my sicknesses, and by his stripes we were, maybe, I don't know, Pastor. I think we are healed, isn't it? We wait until such time when everything is collapsing. God says, no, that's not the time to sow seed. That's not the time to sow. When you want rice, there is nothing to eat and all that. When you have rice seeds, you should have sown that long time ago. They wait until the Lord said, so-and-so, please pray. So-and-so, please pray. So-and-so, please pray. The word was near them all the time. I'm going to tell you something very, very important. The Lord told me many times, you know, in many houses, my precious seeds that I gave to my servants, and they have preached it, they have taught it, and they are so near them. It is within their hand reach. They can take and then put it within their hearts and get delivered. But they neglect it and ignore it. It's right there. All that is right there. Just like Martha was just near Jesus. The word was just near her, but she was doing something else. Can you see that? She was doing something else. You can listen to this as if you are, oh yes, it's true, you know, I am here, oh. And afterwards you get up and go the same way. Keep your anointing. What are you going to do with your anointing when you die? When Jesus tarries. So Isaac sowed in a time that was unfavorable. He did not watch the circumstances. Hold on to the promises and sow it. Don't look at the circumstances. The seed is the word of God. God bless you.